What's up, y'all? It's your girl Samantha, and this is my podcast, Naturalized. So, y'all gonna see me peeking over my shoulder a lot because I know this is not how we typically do a podcast, but the baby's down here and she's sleeping. So I'm trying to squeeze it in while I can, okay? Because I know it's been a little bit since I dropped the podcast, but let's go ahead and get into it because we don't want to waste no time, okay? So you might have to turn your volume up a little bit this episode because I'm whispering. So today I just really wanted to come in and like chime in and give y'all this really like heavy revelation that God gave me today. And I want to talk about it because I had anticipated on talking about it with my homegirl Inez, which was the last episode that y'all saw. We actually ended up shooting two podcasts when I was in Maryland. How the podcast worked when I have guests is I ask the person what it is that they feel comfortable talking about, and we go from there. So basically, once we shoot a podcast, I say, Holy Spirit, have your way, because God can do anything through your yes. So your yes came with you telling me what your baseline was, what you felt like you could talk about and all of that. And through that yes, God moves in a way that you didn't even expect him to move in. So we decided we would shoot, you know, the first episode and then a marriage podcast, because she's actually one of my good close friends. Actually, like one of my good close friends, only friends that's married and pursuing God wholeheartedly like that. And so she gets the assignment that comes with, you know, your marriage. And so I was like, girl, let's shoot a marriage podcast, because I wanted to do a marriage podcast. And it's so crazy because we'll get into all that. But it was so crazy because as we were shooting the podcast, I was recording or whatever, and we were just going on. And it was not until after the podcast was over that I realized the phone cut off. So although we had all the audio, we didn't have all of the visual content. So it was so crazy though, because today I got revelation on why that occurred. And I know sometimes, you know, when people can be like, you too spiritual, you, everything ain't like that. It's coincidental. If that's the world you live in, so be it. I live in a God did it world, okay, period. Like, God do all kind of stuff when it comes to me. And it could be stuff that seemed like, oh, that was just coincidental. Or, oh, girl, that just happened by default. If that's what you think for your life, then that's cool. But that's not how God play when it comes to me. And so today, I want to talk about the marriage thing, because people don't talk about marriage, kingdom marriages. People don't talk about it. People sugarcoat it. People only talk about the good parts. People only talk about the things that they want people to see or want people to know. They don't really talk about the nitty gritty stuff, right? And I knew because Holy Spirit told me my assignment was to show people what a process looked like. And then when I got married, I told my husband, I was like, I feel like God is going to use our marriage. Like, God is using our marriage to do some kingdom work. Like, this ain't no regular smegular marriage. Like, not downplaying people who got a regular smegular marriage. Cool. Love that. But this ain't what God doing when it come to me. And I couldn't really put my finger on it. Like, what? And I still haven't really gotten all the full revelation on what it is God is doing in my marriage. But I do know this is part of it. Showing people that kingdom marriages still exist and that good marriages still exist if you commit to the work that God has called you to commit to. And so I am going to talk about my good marriage, okay? And I'm going to talk about it because this is the part that people need to see. People think, oh, once you get married, oh, it's sunflowers and roses. Oh, baby, it's not. I've been married 2 years in December of 2024. So a little bit over a year and some change now. It's not sunflowers and roses. So whoever told you that, they was lying. Take it from me. Okay. Take it from me. And I keep telling y'all, I can't really tell y'all how me and my husband got together and how God told me that was my husband, blah, 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 because it's in my book. I know. When is the book coming out? When is it coming out? You've been saying that. I know. I am working on my book proposal and it has taken me longer than I would have liked because I struggle with self-doubt. So I have stopped more times than I can count. But I have been working so hard this past week to do my book proposal. And then the revelation that I got today is kind of what fueled me to want to go ahead and finish it, right? We'll get into that. So I can't really tell y'all how we met or whatever just yet. But I do know God was like, oh, we doing this. And so I want to tell you because this ain't no little bit. Like when God is doing big things in your life, he don't move at no slow rate. It's rapid. It's like, hey, I need you to get this in this season. I need you to get that. I need you to get this because we got places to go and we don't have time for you to be playing. And so I wanted to get up here and talk about marriage and what that looks like and how kingdom marriages you have to work for. It is not easy. And I think people don't talk about it because they be thinking like, oh, I don't want such and such in my business. I don't want my marriage stuff to be out there. I say all the time, the baby's waking up. So if you see me step away and come back, give me a minute. Because I don't like to put my baby on the camera. But I say all the time, there's a difference in being messy and telling you, and being messy and being authentic. This is real life. These are things we go through. If you don't talk about it, people don't get delivered. If you don't, this is the life of being a mom. Hold that thought.
Trying to record this while you were sleeping. You don't stay long sleeping long. Okay,
I'm back. Kind of, sort of, in a way. So, I think that there's a difference in being messy and talking about things that you're really going through, because people don't get delivered if you don't talk about it. And so my assignment is to show people what a process looks like. And I have to do so by sharing the things it is that I go through. And I love that for me, even when it's hard. I love it for me because I love it for me because it made me feel like I don't have to live a lie. Like, I can be okay and I can know that every season is going to have some form of adversity, and I don't have to pretend that everything is glitter and gold. I don't have to do that. And so the thing I love too is that God don't really use the good parts. He always uses the broken parts when it comes to me. And so it doesn't even surprise me that I have to talk about what a marriage looks like by telling what I'm going through and dealing with in my own marriage. And I wanted to get up here and talk about how you have to work for the marriage it is that you want. And people don't talk about that because they only show the good parts of the marriage. They only take the pictures when they go on the vacations. They only, you know, tell you, oh, we're buying this, or oh, we're going here, or oh, we did that, or oh, we did this. They don't talk about the things that you two had to overcome and endure behind the closed doors. And so in this season of my life, I have been dealing with some things in my marriage where I am like a person who needs a lot of affection. And I need a lot of affection because I was neglected of affection when I was a child. I didn't really get a lot of love. It was the black sheep, wasn't my mom's favorite child. And so I didn't receive a lot of love. And I wasn't affirmed in ways that I needed to be affirmed in. And so I have been my own cheerleader my whole life. And if you've been your own cheerleader, then I'm sure you know what that looks like. It gets exhausting. And it's hard, especially when I deal with self-doubt. I allow myself to believe sometimes because of the enemy, the things he likes to plant in my mind, that I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. You know, I can't do it. Or, girl, it's not going to turn out the way you want it to turn out or the way you think it's going to turn out. And so I struggle with those things. And so in those moments, and even in not in those moments, I look to my husband to show me affection. And in this season of our life right now, my husband is not really able to show me affection because he himself really doesn't know what affection looks like, And I say that because it can be like, oh my God, girl, your man not show you no love. You would think that, right? But when you are driven by God, for one, you don't care what people think. For two, you don't care what people think. And for three, you really don't care what people think. And for four, you realize that everybody has something that it is that they struggle with. And things that may come natural to you or things that may come easy to you may not come easy or natural to someone else. And that's totally fine. So right now in this season of my life, my husband doesn't really show a lot of affection because he believes that, you know, if I show you I love you by doing things. So he provides, he does this and he does that. And that's his way of showing love. And I'm like, well, that's not my way of showing love. Like, I need a hug. I need to be told this. I need to be told that. And so in this season, we've been in a rough spot because I'm having to love my husband through this season of him not knowing how to be who I need him to be for me. And I'm not going to lie. It's been a tough season because it's been some moments where I'm like, oh, I'm doing a merch drop or, oh, I got this going on. Or, oh, I'm trying to expand this way or I'm trying to expand that way. And I look for my husband to, you know, affirm me in ways that I need it. And he can't because he doesn't know how. And I remember at one point I had gotten a little frustrated and I was like, God, I'm not understanding. And that's when I got the revelation that he can't show me affection in the way I need to because he himself have never received that. So he doesn't know how to do something. He doesn't know how to do the thing it is you're asking him to do. And that gave me so much, like it lifted so much weight from me. And it lifted weight from me because I was then able to detach my emotions from things that God had allowed me to see because he knew I would be able to handle that information correctly. And so instead of saying, well, you don't do this or you don't do that, you know, in a manner such as that, yes, you know, I would bring it up just to remind him of, hey, you know, these are some things that, you know, I hope you aim to, you know, learn how to do or whatever. But I didn't have to, like, you know, like belittle him. And God will reveal certain things to you in your marriage in hopes that you use that information to do what you're supposed to do with it and not do what you want to do with it. Because in some moments of your marriage, I know it can get hard and I know, you know, things cannot go your way and you could be like, oh my God, when are you going to get this right? Or when are you going to get that right? But when God gives you information and insight and clarity on something that it is you've been praying for, and he gives you that information, he's giving it to you because he knows that you either A, are going to do what you're supposed to do, or B, do what you want to do. And being that my marriage is my sacred place, I try to take the information that God has given me and I use it in the way that he desires for me to use it. Because at the end of the day, I want this to be the place my husband's always able to run to. Like, I want to be the first person he calls. I want to be able to be that person he can be vulnerable with. I want to be able to have his back all the time. I want to be able to, you know, see him at his core. I want him to feel seen, heard, and all these things and valued here with me. So I use the information that God has given me when I'm asking for it to the best of my ability, but the way, in the way that God desires for me to use it. And so, when God revealed to me that he didn't know how to show affection, I was able to detach my emotions from it. It relieved me of the frustration that I was feeling. It relieved me of the, oh, you need to hurry up and get this together type thing. Like, it relieved me of that because he didn't know. And if he knew, he would do it. But because he didn't know how to, he wasn't able to meet me at the level that I needed to be met. And when you're in a relationship, you have to be okay giving people grace that you yourself would want if you didn't know how to do something that your spouse was needing you to do. And so in this season of my life, we've been, you know, struggling with the affection thing. And I'm always like, you know, you don't show me affection, you know, I'm not doing it to not just belittle him, but also I'm not like, it's not like a constant thing, right? Because I feel like I can make it known and you can work on it. And I give you grace, right? Because God gives us grace because we don't always get it right tomorrow. And we might not get it right next week. And we might not get it right next month. But God sees your progress and he sees that you're trying. So I try to remind him, not periodically, but, you know, when I feel like the enemy is trying to use it to separate us. And so I'll bring it back up and say, hey, you know, I just wanted to, you know, to remind you, you know, the affection thing is like, you know, it's on me this week. Like, you know, you're not doing it. And by God's grace, even when he doesn't get it right, he tries. And even if he slides back into his old ways of not knowing, because it's a process, like learning things is a process, even when it can be like, girl, that's so simple. I'm telling you. And I say that because I have had to learn how to receive love because I had never received love as a child. So I didn't really know what true love looked like. I was accepting of all kind of love at some point in my life. And God was like, no, you know, we need to redefine what love really is, because if you don't know how, you don't know what love is because you never received it. Anybody can come in and define love and you'll be able to, you'll just want to take it because you've never had it. So I know what it's like to have to learn something that should come natural, but it doesn't. And so I remind my husband of these things, and I want to get into, you know, I'm so thankful that he tries. He slides back because he's still learning, and I give him grace, and, you know. But I want to get into the moments that we've been having here recently, which is the enemy has been allowing him to focus on the season that we're in and the pressure that he's feeling from the season that we're in versus the assignment that we are supposed to be completing in this season of our life. So stay with me. So a marriage from God, right? A marriage from God is hard work. It's commitment. And it's just like your individual assignment. Whatever you want your legacy to be defined as when you leave, it's based off of the work you desire to put in. Because Abraham didn't have a great legacy because he just decided to show up. No, he decided to do what was necessary for him to have that legacy. And so it's the same way. And so it's the same with your marriage. If you desire to leave a legacy based upon what good marriage looks like, it requires hard work. And I want, at the end of the day, I want my children to be able to say, my mother might not always got it right, but she was a good wife to my father. She was a good wife to him whenever he needed. Not whenever he needed her to be a good wife, but she was always a wife, even when things didn't go her way. She was always a good wife, even when she had to make more sacrifices. So it seemed like she was always a good wife because my mother valued being a good wife. And when you set those principles in your life and you define those areas of your life, your children and then their children and then their children will allow, you know, themselves to say, hey, that's something that I want to implement in my life. No, my marriage does not have to look just like their marriage, but the foundation of their marriage was God. And so I know that if I put God in my marriage first, then it will be fruitful. So that's what I'm trying to define in my marriage. So it is hard work. And so I make sure I put in the work to do so, even when it's hard and even when I'm frustrated, even when I'm like repeating myself, I ensure that I'm giving my marriage my all, because not only do I have an assignment for myself, I now have a marriage assignment attached to my name. And so basically, when you get married, well, not just when you get married, but when you're an individual, God has a calling on your life. He says, Samantha, or whatever your name may be, you know, I have an assignment here for you to complete. And so that's your assignment. And so when you get married, you now have a spouse. Their assignment is still in place as well. So now for me, I have an assignment and my husband Chris has an assignment. We have assignments as individuals, which means if we never would have gotten married to begin with, we would have had our own individual assignments regardless. But because we have come together in union, we now have an extra assignment on our hands, which means we now have a marriage assignment. And so God was giving me this revelation today, because we have been struggling with the affection thing for a little bit now, like honestly for a little bit. And the enemy was trying to like wear me down and just let me know, like just trying to wear me down and trying to convince me that, oh, he's never going to get this. Oh, he's never going to get that. And so I was feeling the feels. And I know I had started talking about the assignments, which I'll get back to once I give you the full revelation. It'll all connect the dots. So we've been dealing with this for quite some time, and the enemy was trying to like weigh me down. And so he was just like, oh, he's never going to get this. Oh, you're going to always have to, you know, be the bigger person. You're going to always have to do this. You're going to always have to do that. And so it's been a little struggle, honestly. Like, I could see some changes within our marriage. But I'm always that person. And if you know your role as a wife, P31, Proverbs 31, period. if you know your role as a wife, then you know it is the wife's job to bring the husband to Christ. My husband is already in Christ, but I feel like in this season of my life, God is using my faith. And I always say, when I die, I want to be remembered by my faith. I always want people to see the faith that I had and for them to be like, oh my gosh, she has such immaculate faith that I saw God do amazing things through her. And if I implement that type of faith in my own life, God will do some extravagant things in my own life. And so God is using my faith to show my husband that faith can take you by far further than any degree, than any amount of money, than any knowledge that you know, than anybody that you know. Faith is what will take you to the end of the earth and experience God in ways that people never experienced God before. Because it says it in the Bible, it is impossible to please God without faith. And so in this season, God is using my faith. And I was talking to my husband and I was telling him how, you know, you don't really show affection or whatever the case may be, because I'm always having to be that person to reel us back in, because that's who I am. That's my assignment right now. And I'm okay with that. Now, if my husband does see some things that he doesn't like, he doesn't typically come off immediately and say it. I'm that person who's like, hey, let's sit down, have a conversation. And then boom, it goes from there or whatever. That's just who I am. All my friends are like, you're the mom out of the group. They always say that. I'm the mom. So, you know, I took it to my husband the other day and I was just like, hey, I've noticed some changes in our relationship and, you know, you don't really, you know, show any affection. I was just kind of trying to see, like, you know, where you at, like learning how to do this for me, because this is something I need. This is like my love language. And if you don't do it, at some point, I'm going to feel like you're not giving me what I need. And the conversation didn't really go well. It didn't really go well, if I'm being honest. But because I had been praying about this for over 2 weeks now. I like literally got like journal entries in my journal where I was talking about, God, I just need you to like, are you talking to him? Because like, I don't see no progress being made. Like what, like what's going on? Are you advocating? Are you advocating for me? Excuse me. Because like, I need to know. And I was just saying to God, I was like, well, God, I'm just going to ask him. And I felt God gave me this sense of peace, right? He gave me this crazy amount of peace. And if you follow God, you know the peace I'm talking about. He gave me this peace that allowed me to go and have this conversation with my husband and say, hey, this is what I feel and this is what I need you to do. And the peace that I had allowed me to hear the words that my husband was saying and not get caught up in my emotion. Because sometimes when we go and we talk to our spouse, we could be so full of emotion that when we go, we hear things we don't want to hear. And so we act out of emotion instead of listening and dissecting what was said and then responding. Sometimes we respond out of emotions. And because I desire to not do that, I could say, God, I thank you for that. Because me and my husband have had some very hard conversations, and I'm so thankful that God has done his work within me for me to be one of those people who is slow to speak, and I listen, but I listen. And I say that because I remember being in some seasons in my life where I just, my mouth off rip. Because now if you know me, then you know the old me, I could cut you deeper than a wound could cut you. Like, an open wound, me. Like, I could cut you so deep, my words will have you second guessing who you are. And because I've been delivered from that by the grace of God, I've been delivered from that. I no longer operate like that, because I do know that once you say something, you cannot take it back. So even if you didn't mean it, you couldn't take it back. And I've also learned that when you have a lot to say and you haven't really thought it through, the best option probably to say is nothing. Like, it's probably just best to say nothing, because you don't want to have to stand on the words that you already said that you really didn't mean. So I am not that wife. And I love that for me. I love it for me, because people would be thinking that, oh, it's not possible. My friends would be like, Samantha, how in the world are you not saying something? Like, how in the world? Do you know the things you've said to us? Like, and I'm like, y'all, this is my husband. Like, I can't do that. I know we joke around all day and we play all day, like me and my friends, and I could say these things to y'all, but like, me and my husband, we can't do that. Like, we can't do that. And it's because I value what my marriage stands on, and I don't want to have to play catch up in my marriage, especially based off of something that I said out of anger. I don't want to do that. So I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. And so even if I hear words that I don't want to hear, I take a minute, even if it's a day or so, take a minute, process those words, and then come back and speak after that. Because I'm just not about to speak on emotions and say something that I do not mean, because it's just not worth it to me. And so I am always listening and being receptive to what's being said, even when I don't like it. And so after having that conversation with my husband, I didn't really like what was said, but because God had already given me that peace to know that, hey, you're going to hear some things that you don't want to hear, but I need you to go in there with bravery, having this conversation, knowing that even when you don't hear what you want to hear, that doesn't mean it's not going to work in your favor. God don't always do things the way you want God to do things, but if you let God be God, oh, he going to do it in a way that would have been better if you wanted to try and do it your own way anyway. It would be 10 times better than you could have ever done. So I knew that when I had that peace over me, I was like, okay, I'm just going to hear his words. And I'm not going to lie, it made me sad. I cried a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Cried a little bit. But because I had that peace, I just knew. I didn't know how God was going to work it out. I didn't know what he was going to do, but I just knew God was going to do it. And I had just been praying for weeks, God, please, like, please give me some clarity. Please give me revelation, because I don't want this to change me. Because when you are in some hard places in a marriage and things are not really like working the way you want them to work, or you're not getting what you need. And this is from both people, like whether it be me or whether it be my husband, because every season is, I'm not going to be this perfect wife, you know, he's going to have some things that he needs me to work on as well. And so when you're getting these things, or when you're not getting these things, you know, you could be so like, you could be so wrapped up in yourself that it just be like, oh my God, I'm not getting this, or oh my God, I'm not getting that. And so I just was like, God, please give me some clarity. I need some clarity because I don't want this to change me. And when you don't get the things that you need, it'll change you. Like, I could have gotten angry. I could have gotten bitter. When you don't get the things that it is you need from your spouse, you start, the enemy love that. The enemy love, oh, he love that. He will love to try to plant something so small, the size of a mustard seed, because you don't need a lot for a garden to grow. You take one seed and look how many strawberries plant from that one street, that one seed. Look how many, you know, squash come from a few seeds planted. The enemy only need one seed. And boy, you'll have a garden in your head by the time he's done working with you. And he'll plant that one little thing. He'll see, oh, well, her husband's not showing her affection. I'm going to plant in her head that he don't support you. He doesn't do it. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. And I'm like, and I'll entertain it, because we had those moments. If we being honest, we had the moments where we operating in our flesh and we say, God, I'm trying to convince myself that this is not true, but the math ain't mathing, because externally it appears that this is right. This is true. He doesn't support me. He doesn't show me affection. He doesn't do this and he doesn't do that, but it's the enemy. And so you will get so wrapped up in that it starts to change you without you even knowing. And before you know it, you're bitter. Before you know it, you're angry. Before you know it, you responding out of hostility. Before you know it, you being petty. And I was like, God, I was journaling. And I was like, God, I just don't want this to change me. I know I'm not getting what I need in this season, but God, give me grace. And I remember God saying, oh, you got to give him grace. And I remember saying, well, God, how far does grace go? And what humbled me, he said, you're going to give him grace because I give you grace. And I gave you grace even when you wasn't following me. So there is no such thing as grace running out, because even with you following me now, you still fall short and I still give you grace. So there is no, how long does grace go? Because if my grace don't run out with you, then your grace don't run out with people as well. And so I was just like, okay, well, I'm just going to continue to cast my cares onto the Lord. And I'm so thankful that I have friends in Christ who are able to help me in those moments. And it could be like, oh my God, you don't need to be telling people about your marriage. You need to have solid people in your life and in your circle who can help you navigate through certain things in your life. That's what community is for. Community is to hold you accountable. Community is for you to be able to be vulnerable. Community is for you to be able to carry your thoughts and allow you to cast your cares onto your friends, because the Bible speaks about that. Especially then when two or more are gathered, here he is in the midst of him. I need my sisters to be knowing what's going on, and I need them to be in prayer with me, because I need the shackles to be broken. Okay. So I remember telling my friends, and I'm like, you know, I need prayer in this area. I need help in this area. And so I'm so thankful to have that outlet as well. And so I'm praying and I'm like, God, I just need, I need something, because I know you saying grace is this. I need something. And so I was journaling and I'm just like casting my cares on the Lord, just saying, God, please just give me some clarity. Just help me get through this season, especially after we had the conversation. And because it's so crazy, because I had sat, and if you know Paul and Silas in the Bible, and it's so crazy because this is all the revelation. I don't know if this podcast is all over the place. I'm trying to be a mom at this moment, trying to record this podcast because it's been a minute, but also trying to make sure I get everything out. And so like, God, just have your way. Okay. And so if you know Paul and Silas, when they was in the prison, they had got in prison because they was preaching the gospel. And when they was in prison, they were shackled and chained up, you know, and they had a security guard watching them or whatever. And they were in the prison and they were singing. It said they were praying. They were praying, singing hymns. And it was one other thing. I can't remember. But they were praying, singing hymns. And they were, you know, they were in shackles or whatever. And as they were singing, it said they were singing hymns with an S, which means they sung more than one song. And they were singing. Out of nowhere, an earthquake came and it shook the prison. And the chains, like the prisoners were free because the chains came off. And so they, remember, were being monitored by, don't let this fall. They were being monitored by a security guard. And so the security guard's job was to watch them to make sure they didn't get out. And so he thought that he woke up because he had fell asleep. And so when he woke up, he realized the chains had fell off, the shackles had fell off, and he thought they left. So he's about to kill himself. And they were like, whoa, 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 don't kill yourself. You know, we're still here. So I say that to say they were singing. And if you know, then God honors your praise. Like he loves when you praise him, especially when you in some stuff that you don't like to be in and you still give God praise. He loves that. So I say that to say the same way Paul and Silas was set free from them praising God. I knew that that was a way that God could free me as well. And for the past 2 weeks, I've been attending Elevation Church for about a month now. And they have this song called, I don't know what the song is called. I can't look because it's on my phone, but I just know it goes, you know, like, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I just been singing it like nonstop, because I knew my marriage was something that I was praying about. I knew it was something that mattered to me. And if you know God, then you know in the Bible it says God cares about what you care about. And so I was like, I'm just going to keep casting it on God. I'm just going to keep mentioning it. God, I know you're getting tired of me talking about it and just being my journal entry every night. But God, I'm not leaving until you do something. And so I say that to say I got this crazy revelation today, right? And so I remember I said that I had a conversation, didn't really like how it went, had my moment where I was able to process my emotions, but the peace still remained. And I loved that for me because, again, I didn't know what God was going to do and I didn't know how he was going to do it, but I knew he was going to do it some kind of way. And I knew he was going to do it because the enemy tried to get me so worn down that I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't be married anymore. I can't, you know, be with somebody who doesn't show me affection and blah, 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 blah. And as I was driving to school today, driving to take my youngest to school, well, my youngest son, because he goes to preschool, I was driving to take him to school. And last night, I got the best sleep that I've gotten probably since the baby's been born. And that was 6 months ago because my baby turned 6 months today. And we slept so good, man. We slept so amazing. I felt so revitalized and so rejuvenated. And as I was driving to school this morning to take my son, the revelation hit like before I could even pull out of our subdivision. And God reminded me of what I just told y'all earlier about the individual assignments. He said, you always say, you already know. He was reminding me of the things that I knew. He was like, you already knew that everybody has an individual assignment. You have an assignment. He has an assignment. And this is how marriage works now. When you are, God was like, you know, I'm teaching you both things individually because you have an assignment for yourself as an individual. Then I need for you two to come together to share the knowledge that it is that I've been teaching you individually in this season because it's compatible. And see, I've learned this about a marriage is that God does work in each of you individually. You come together, share the information because it's useful for the two of you. What I'm learning can be applied to his life and what he's learning can be applied to my life. But the marriage does not move individually. It moves as a unit, which means you have to commit to the individual work that it is that God is teaching you in this season. He has to commit to the individual work that it is that God is teaching him in this season. And then when you have met the benchmarks for the season and learned what it was that God was teaching you individually for the season, God will move the marriage to the next step. So this morning, God was reminding me. He was like, you already know that. You tell people that. And it's so crazy because I always say that. And he was like, right now he's not learning what needs to be learned in this season. And so that's why it's not moving. This is why this is still a thing months later, because he's not learning what needs to be learned. And so I say that to say, it's so much, like, it's so much, it's so good. The enemy will put the pressure on you, or have you focus on the pressure that it is that you're going through in the season that you're in. Because let's be real, you face adversity at every season. Every season. You're never going to be in a season where something is not going, like, something is not going right. Did I say that right? Yeah. Something is going to always be going wrong. Something. Because if not, then faith cannot be produced. So there's going to be some form of adversity every single season that you're in. But the goal is, when you enter in those seasons, in the new seasons, the focus should be, God, what is it that you're trying to teach me in this season so that I don't miss the mark, and so that I can obtain what's needed for me to get where I'm going. Seasons are enjoyable. Don't get me wrong. But enjoyable seasons should not be the center focus. We have moments that we are able to enjoy in the season that we are in, but enjoying a season should not be the first thing on our mind. The first thing on our mind should be for us to learn what it is that God is teaching. And so when you go into that season, you say, God, I'm focused on what it is you're teaching me, however you decide to teach me, whether it's through adversity, whether it's through blessings, whether it's through whatever. And so my husband at this moment is not on that, with that, don't, is not following that rule, because he feels the weight that is coming from the season that we are in. And so the enemy wants you to get so worn down spiritually, because the moment the enemy gets you worn down spiritually, oh, it's over for you. The moment you start running to God, the moment you start leaning on your own understanding, oh, it's over for you. Oh, you can go hang it up. And so he will wear you down spiritually so that he can get to you in the ways that he wants to get to you. And so that's why God has to be the center focus of your season. And that's why you have to run to God, even when it's hard, even when you don't want to pray, even when you don't want to read your Bible. You got to say, God, produce something inside of me that's going to make me want to do those things. And so my husband has been feeling the weight of the season that we're in. And so his center focus has been that. It's been all that he's been having to deal with and all he's been having to do. And so when you focus on the adversity or the pressure that the season is piling on you, you start missing the pinpoints and the benchmarks that God is trying to teach you, because your focus now is more like survival and not thriving. So you start missing the little components that God is using to teach you all that is being taught in this season. You miss it. And so we start staying in these seasons longer than we should have, because we're not learning what's needed to be learned. And so God gave me this revelation this morning that, hey, we're not going to the next part until homeboy learn what's needing to be learned. And it's so crazy, because we be sitting here thinking, well, oh, I'm going to do this, or oh, I'm going to do that. Even if he's not doing this, oh, he's not doing that. That's cool. But remember, God do work individually for you to come together, use the work together, and then move the marriage together. So regardless if I'm doing the work and he not, we're not going to the next season until he learned what needs to be learned. And God gave me that revelation this morning, because he said, I don't prepare you when you get to the season. I prepare you before you get there. And he used the saying of, I allow you to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. He was telling me that. He said, the things I'm trying to teach you right now in this season is not even for this season. It's for the next season. So if he's not learning what needs to be learned in this season, he's not going to be equipped for the next season. So I'm not going to go ahead and send you guys to the next season, because it's not going to prosper in the way it's supposed to prosper, because he didn't learn what was being taught in the season previously. And so I say all of that to say, that the revelation was so crazy because God took me down memory lane. And he was just like, he was telling me, he was like, remember when you went to Maryland and you tried to shoot that marriage podcast and you realized the podcast piggyback? When we did the marriage podcast, I told y'all we recorded it and the video did not capture all of it. Only the audio did. But it was so crazy because remember how I said God will get you to say yes to whatever it is you feel comfortable with when you decide to talk on the podcast? And then I say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit had his whole way. The first 30 minutes. Oh, I want to hit that. The first 30 minutes of the podcast that was recorded on the audio. Remember, we got the whole thing on audio. So the whole thing was recorded on audio. But the whole part that was recorded on the visual content was the part that Holy Spirit had his way. It was literally the entire part that we were supposed to release. It cut off as soon as we started talking about the marriage. As soon as we started talking about marriage. And it was so crazy because I had told my homegirl, Kayla, I said, I really feel like we weren't supposed to shoot a marriage podcast. And I was telling her all that had happened before we got to the marriage stuff. And I was like, I just don't believe that that was the assignment. God used our yes through our marriage, you know, agreement of, hey, we're going to shoot a marriage podcast. But he had his whole total different way. And I haven't released that part yet. The second podcast that we shot, which is the one I'm talking about right now, which I will release in a few weeks. But he was reminding me today. He said, you remember when the podcast, and it was so crazy because we didn't even notice that the video cut off until the end. And my phone was like, oh, the storage is full. And it was going crazy. Y'all, I just got this phone. My storage is not full. I just got this phone. And then you also know if you got Apple, it will warn you that the storage is full. It did none of that. We literally used the same phone, the same stuff I'm using right now when we shot the first marriage podcast. It said nothing about no low storage. It didn't say none of that. None of that. So I was like, what in the world? And literally, like, it took me, I literally ended up, I took it to Apple, and Apple was like, we ain't never seen nothing like this. Well, I didn't take it to Apple. I was talking to Apple on the phone for like 2 hours. And it was like, we ain't never seen nothing like this. Whole time I corrected the problem while I was on the phone with Apple. I was like, don't worry about it. It's so crazy because I just fixed the problem. I don't know how I fixed it. I lie to you not. It literally, and it's been working ever since. It's been working ever since. So God was like, remember when you tried to shoot that marriage podcast? Yeah, that's not what I was doing. That's why the video cut off. And I was like, and again, just go back to what I was saying in the beginning. You could be thinking, oh, that's cliche. The video just cut off. Okay. If that's how you think. But I remember I said, God don't do like that when it comes to me. God knows I can recognize him on a big level and a small level. So I know that this was nothing but God. And so he was like, yeah, you know, the video cut off because that wasn't the podcast that I was using. Like that, I wasn't using that part of the podcast. I was using the first part, but I wasn't using the marriage part. And I was like, well, why? And he was like, because remember, I told you that your assignment is to show people what a process looked like. Oh yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I'm not talking about the stuff y'all was talking about. Like, yeah, you made some good points, but like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this part. Because this is the stuff that people don't talk about. And if you don't talk about this stuff, then people are not going to understand that, yeah, your marriage is going to go through some stuff. But if you commit to the hard work, just as there's some hard days, there'll be many and plenty of good days. And you have to talk about this to people because your assignment is to show people what the process looks like. And it didn't stop in your individual life. It carried on into your marriage. And so I was like, oh my gosh, that's so crazy. That's so crazy. And I was like, sorry, y'all, I'm trying to be my baby. And so I was like, he was like, yeah, so you're going to shoot a podcast and you're going to talk about it because that's the part that I'm using. Like, remember, we're showing people that good kingdom marriages still exist. And you have to talk about the parts that make people want to run from a marriage. Like, you have to talk about that because people would have been in your place, you know, and they would have left. They would have been like, oh, this not for me. And that's the thing. God was like, you be trying. Not me. Oh, I want to verify. Not me. people be trying to ask God for these assignments and these things and to be in these places and to have these platforms. And it come with things you don't even know it be coming with. We be praying for one thing, not knowing it come with 10. And when the 10 things come, we be like, oh God, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. And God be like, but you was praying for the platform. You was praying for the marriage. And now you don't want to do the work that keep the marriage going. You don't want to do it. You just wanted the marriage. Oh, you ain't want to do the work. Oh, that's crazy. And so if I don't talk about these parts, when you pray for that marriage and when you get that marriage and it start going crazy and you like, God, this can't be the man you sent me. Cause what we got going on? You will be able to say, I heard on a podcast that anything God give you, you got to work for. Blessings ain't just obtainable and then it stop. Blessings have to be maintained, which is produced through work, which means you have to do the work in order for the blessing to fully thrive at its best. The blessing arrived, but there's more work to be done. It don't just stop when you get the blessing. And I say that to say, God told me this morning, he was like, you were sitting there asking me, you know, like, why he like this? And he said, remember, everybody is unfinished. I don't give you, nothing is finished until your time is up here. Your assignment ain't finished. Your healing ain't finished. Your deliverance ain't finished. None of that is finished until you die. So you yourself is unfinished. And this is just an area in his life where he's unfinished at. And so you got to give him grace. And you also got to do the work to love him through it, because God told me this is not who he is. This is how he is. This thing that he's experiencing and that's causing him to act in this manner of not being able to show me affection and stuff like that. That is not who he is, because I know my husband's baseline. I know, because that's why I married him. And that's the thing you have to continuously remind yourself of and allow to resurface on your brain, is why you married that person. And see, people be getting married for the wrong reason, but that's another podcast. We ain't here for that. People get married for the wrong reasons, and when it's time to go to war, because when you realize the enemy ain't just after you, he gonna be after your spouse too. Because when God is doing a kingdom thing, oh baby, it ain't just about you. He gonna attack anything he can. And when you don't have nothing to stand on because you married for looks or you married for money, oh baby, I'ma pray for you. Okay, I'ma pray for you, because I'ma pray for you. But that's another podcast. So the work is unfinished, and this is an area that I'm having to love him through and to, you know, fight through, because the enemy desires for me to be like, oh yeah, I'm done. No, I'm not doing that. Whole time there's something inside of me that my husband can be like, oh yeah, I'm not doing that either. But because I remember the things that made me fall in love with my husband, it makes me say, I know this is something we're dealing with in this season, but that's not who he is. It's how he is. And when God do the very same thing that he did for Paul and Silas, break them shackles, oh, he not going to be like that no more. He ain't going to be like that no more. He going to be exactly who I need him to be. And so God was like, that's not who he is. That's just how he is. And there's going to be some seasons of your life where that's not who you are. It's just how you are. And it's because you're unfinished. So if you let me do the work that I need to do, he won't be like that no more. And I was just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And it was so crazy, because Sunday, my pastor preached and she was talking about unpacking. I mean, packing, how you pack for a trip and how she's an overpacker. But when they go on that trip, everybody be running to her because she overpacked. So she have everything that everybody else left at home. And so I didn't know at the time, but that's why I say I got this revelation today. I didn't know at the time that this was going to be a part of the revelation until this morning when I was driving, you know, driving, taking my son to school. He was like, remember when the pastor said, unpack your stuff because you're going to be here for a while. He was like, you're going to have to settle here, because not settle in a way of like settle for less, settle as in like get comfy, because you're going to be here until he learn what he need to learn in this season. And I'm not moving y'all forward until he get what he need to get. Because when you, God is packing us, he's allowing us to pack. We're going on a trip. And in this season of our life, we're packing. And so if you don't pack what's necessary for the trip you about to take, when you get there, you're not going to have what you need. And so you need to, I would rather overpack than to underpack. You know what I mean? So when she was like, she was an overpacker. And when they go on a trip, God gave me the revelation of, at least in this season, when you get to the next season, even if you've been here for a while, you'd rather be overpacked than underpacked. And you'll have everything that you need when you go on that trip. Because you don't go to the trip first and then be like, oh, yeah, some of y'all might, but you don't go on a trip most of the time and be like, oh, yeah, I'll just buy clothes every day. I'll just buy everything on a day-to-day basis. I'll do that. You don't do that. You typically pack and then you go and then, boom, you got everything you need. So in this season of our life, we're packing. And God would rather us overpack than underpack. So we in this season where I'm learning what's necessary. And I'm thankful. Because the same, because again, God uses the knowledge that he's teaching you individually so it can help both of y'all together. So I'm glad that I am learning what's necessary because I'm able to feed him and, you know, reel him in and say, hey, let's go. You got some work to do. You got some things to do so we can get moving. But God was like, I would rather you overpack than to underpack. So unpack your stuff right here for a little bit because y'all gonna be here until he learn what's necessary. And when he learn it, it may be like, oh, we've been here for a long time, but you'll be overpacked, but you'll be prepared for the trip that you're going on to, which is the next season of your life. Because God don't get you ready when you go to the next season. You be already equipped to handle what is necessary in the next season. And it's so crazy because the title of the sermon at my church was, you have everything you need for the season that you're in right now. And so I say that to say, the revelation hit so heavy for me this morning. It gave me such clarity. And I just remember seeing it again. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. Because I was like, God, I need something to keep me anchored. Because the enemy is trying to play with my mind. And this morning, I lied to you not. I've had the best day today. I ain't done nothing spectacular. Like, I haven't done anything spectacular. I've had the best day today because my burdens were lifted. I took my burdens to God and I casted my cares on God. And because I sought the Lord for clarity and for understanding, and I didn't lean into my own understanding, and I allowed God to give me what I needed and not what I wanted, he was able to do what he needed to do. And so this morning, after I got a full night's rest and good sleep, he gave me the revelation today. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And I've been in the best mood, had the best day. And I knew it was nothing but God, because even though I'm still in this season and God has not corrected the thing that it is that, you know, I'm praying for, you know, like for my husband to show a lot of affection or whatever the case may be, I also know that I have the tools and I have the light load to be able to continue to give him grace. So when you got, and it goes back to what I was saying, when God give you that knowledge, you can either A, do what you want to do with it, or do what he tells you to do, or do what he tells you to do with it. And because God has given me all of this revelation today, I am now able to continue to give my husband grace, even if it takes 2 more months for him to show me the affection that I want to, that I need. And so that is what marriage is. It is literally a continuous sacrifice. It's a continuous sacrifice where you're going to always have to see the other person as you see yourself. And that's why when you're in a marriage, you should always know who you are as an individual. Because when you know who you are as an individual, you won't allow the season you are in to shape who you are. You'll know, hey, no, that's not who I am. It's just what I'm dealing with. Again, it's not who I am. It's what I say. It's not who he is. It's It's not who he, y'all, I done forgot. It's not who he is. It's how he is. So it's not who I am. It's just how I am. So, and when you go in them seasons where it's hard and stuff, you won't let it change who you are. And so that's why it's so important to know who you are as an individual, because you'll stand firm on knowing who you are, because the enemy will come in when he see, oh, she's struggling in this area, or oh, he's struggling in that area. And he'll try to shape you in a way that you know you're not. He'll try to convince you, oh, you're like this, or oh, you're like that. Whole time you really not. So you got to stand firm in knowing who you are and who God says you are when you go in these seasons, because when your spouse is acting out, or your marriage is not going in the way that you would like for it to go, you are able to say, I'm going to give him grace and I'm going to love him through all of this, because I would want the same for myself if it was me and he had to extend that to me. And so when you see people as you see, when you see people as you see yourself, it allow you to love and to give grace in a way that's so unexplainable. That's why the Bible say love people, love your neighbor as you love yourself. When you realize people don't really love themselves the way they say they do, you then understand why they treat people the way they treat people. And it's because it ain't got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with them. And so I have been so full today because I got that revelation, and it's been so good. And I even took a big huge step of faith, right? I took a huge step of faith, and I wrote down all of the things that I had faith that God was going to do in my husband. I put God is going to allow my husband to feel in ways, in the smallest ways, where he's so sensitive to the smallest thing. And when I say sensitive, I'm not saying a crybaby. I'm saying sense is God's goodness and his presence in the smallest way. Because if you are just the type of person who can only sense God when God doing something big, boy, are you missing out. Because when you realize God ain't doing big things in every season, you'll be able to pay attention to the small things, because God be trying to pay attention. God be trying to use small things to see if you paying attention, and if you in tune like you supposed to be. So I was like, God, I just pray, and I have faith that you're going to allow him to be sensitive to the smallest things, that he's going to be so affectionate and so loving that I'm going to forget the days where he wasn't. And I can't wait to follow up with this testimony when I say, y'all remember when I shot that podcast and I was talking about this and that? My husband is like this now. Like, I have faith to believe that. And I'm so thankful that God has given me such revelation for me to have that, because I want my marriage to work. And I also know that nothing comes easy. You have to work for things. And because this is part of my assignment, It's going to, for one, be attacked in ways that you don't want it to be attacted, because the enemy wants you to opt out. Because if I would have opted out by saying, oh, I want a divorce, lives wouldn't be changed through my assignment that's connected to my marriage. My marriage is to show people what a process looks like. My life is to show people what a process looks like. That's my purpose. All the way from my career, I left nursing. And God finna do big things would be you, black girl. Y'all finna see it on CV, in Target. Y'all finna see it everywhere. So remember this. For real. Like, finna be the first millionaire in my family. Okay, period. This podcast finna go places. Like, y'all gonna say, I remember when she started that podcast and she was shooting it in her basement. I can't wait. I tell y'all that all the time. I can't wait. This is the process. It's gonna go from this to that. And if you let God do some processes in your life, you won't live an average life. And so if I would have opted out of my assignment with my marriage, people wouldn't be set free. And so the enemy desired for that to be a thing for me. And I'm so glad that now I have this revelation, because even when things don't go my way, even when I'm having a moment, I'm able to use the knowledge that God has given me to extend grace to my husband, because I don't have to act on emotion. God has given me revelation and knowledge for me to apply in those moments where the enemy desires for me to act out of emotion. You say, hey, I'm not going to add that of emotion. I'm already aware that this is an area where he struggles at. And God gave me the revelation as well. And so I'm just so free and so full. Like, I'm so free and so full, because even though, and I told God, I said, God, I'm not going to let this change me. I'm not. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. And I can't wait for the moments where my husband has a revelation. Once he reaches that point where he's able to show all the affection that I can't wait for him to show. I'm ready for him to have a revelation where he gets to say, I remember where I didn't show affection to my wife the way she needed me to, but she loved me through it. And I'm so thankful for that, because I told God, I'm not going to let this change me. When you go through things in your marriage and you don't like it, you could be like, oh, I'm not doing this anymore. You don't do this for me, so I'm not doing it for you. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, because I am not about to block my blessings, and I am not about to be held up in no season when I got places to go. I got places to be and I got things to do. I'm not going to be sitting in no season because I can't let go of these things that don't even matter. I'm not doing that. I'm not. So I was like, God, I'm not going to let this change me. I'm going to continue to be the wife that I am. I'm going to continue to love him the way that I love him. I'm going to continue to be who I am. And I'm not going to let the enemy convince me to be petty. I'm not going to let the enemy convince me, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. And so when my husband comes home, I've been giving him all kinds of kisses, all kinds of love. And again, it seems like, oh, you're having to do this. Oh, you're having to do that. Sometimes you're going to have to be the one to make the sacrifice. You're going to have to, because in some seasons that we have yet to face, my husband's going to be the one to have to make the sacrifice when it comes to me. That's what a marriage is. It's a continuous sacrifice. And that's why some people shouldn't be married, because if you cannot sacrifice what you want to do versus what you need to do, marriage is not for you, bro. I'm telling you, it's not for you, because there's going to be a lot of seasons where you don't like your spouse, where y'all don't get along, where, oh, when did you get like this? There's going to be a lot of seasons like that. But when you remember each other's baseline, that's going to be the thing that allows you to persevere and to be committed to whatever season it is that you're in. And so I'm thankful that I'm still loving on my husband, and I'm able to still give him kisses, and I'm like, oh no, come and give me a hug and all this and all that. I understand that that's what I need from him, and I'm the one that's giving it to him. I get it, but eventually it won't be like that, and this too shall pass. And I love that for me, because eventually when my husband does get that revelation, he's going to be able to say that even when I wasn't able to give her what she needed, she didn't stop giving me what I needed. Because that's what people do. We say, oh, well, they ain't doing it for me. I ain't doing it for them. Those people don't advance far in life. And that's why you see people who live an average life, and then you see people who live a blessed life. Because, again, just because it's something you feel you should do, it doesn't mean you should do it. Because at the end of the day, we stand on God's principles. God be like, I get that's how you feel. I get it. I'm not knocking how you feel. I ain't saying that. But at the end of the day, I said what I said, and it's either you're going to do what I said or you're not. And if you're not, get up out of the way. That's cool. You have the option. You have the free will. But if you want this marriage to prosper the way you want it to prosper, and the way I've said and allowed you to know that it's going to prosper, because God has told me my marriage is going to be great. It's going to impact so many lives. If you want it to be fruitful the way that I told you it was going to be fruitful, you're going to do it my way. And if you ain't, then we'll go figure it out for yourself. And you're going to be living in chaos, more chaos than what you really think you're living in. And so I am so happy to know that I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. And so that revelation was so crazy to me today. And I cannot wait, because this is going to be the reminder that, oh my God, she had crazy faith. She wrote this down. She said that. I remember when she said that. I'm telling you, some seasons down the road, you'll see. And this is going to be that point where you believe God for a process in your life. I understand that we are in a rush to get where we're going. I understand we have had to overcome some very hard things. I get, God, we don't deserve this. We don't deserve that. I get it. I get it. But at the end of the day, the beauty is in the process. I can't wait to sit back and be like, oh my gosh, baby, you remember when you couldn't show affection? And he'd be like, yes, I remember that. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I was ever like that. It's a process, and you got to be committed, and you got to love people through their process, because you want people to be committed to you and love you through yours. And so this is what a kingdom marriage looks like. This is what it's continuous sacrifice. It's seeing people as you see yourself. It's seeing your spouse as you see yourself. It's loving your spouse as you love yourself. And it's also knowing that the enemy gonna try to do anything he can. He gonna do that with you. He gonna do that with y'all. He gonna do that with your friends. He gonna do that any way he can. The enemy will use anybody that's connected to you. And he'll use them when he can't get directly to you because he know you're gonna be affected in some way, form, or fashion. But when you know what you know, you can't unknow it. And that's the goodness of God, because a revelation gonna give you what you need to know. And when you go to see it again, you're gonna say, nice try, buddy, but you can't get me because I already know. And so because I know, I can't unknow it. And because I saw it, I can't unsee it. And that's what it is. And that's just that on that, period. Okay, period. So I'm so happy that I was able to get up here and shoot this podcast, because I've been so focused on like, oh my gosh, God, my husband hasn't really been free enough to watch the baby so that I could shoot podcasts. And I'm just like, look, I'm going to have to wing it, because like this word can't wait till tomorrow. It's got to be dropped today. Okay, like I can't wait. And so I was so happy that the baby has cooperated. I've been feeding her and she's been kind of like lingering around right here, but I'm so happy that she has been cooperating and has not been crying and stuff. That's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God. We thank you for it, God. We love you. And so I'm so happy that I was able to record this podcast and get it out, because it's been a couple of weeks and God knows I desire to be in this place where I'm at, where sharing the gospel and sharing things. And if you do not follow me on TikTok and you want more, I know I'm not always available to drop podcasts every day, but I do try to shoot every week. And I know there has been a lag in the past few weeks because I've had some podcast issues, but I'm back and I'm better. And if you need something like on a continuous basis, you need to go over the TikTok. Hopefully they don't ban it. But God, Father God, we ask you right now that they don't ban TikTok. You go over to TikTok and you follow me. It's Naturalized Podcast, the same as it is for the YouTube channel. Go over there. I be on there all the time. Like I'm dropping a word almost, I ain't gonna say every day, but you might, you know, some days it's more frequent than others, but at least about every week or so. You know, I've had some seasons where I had to take a little bit of time off because of God's, you know, stop and start. But if you want to, you know, get something to hold you over and to keep you anchored, maybe on a day where you in the slums or you need a good word, go on over to your girl TikTok page, is Naturalized Podcast, and tune in over there and show me some love over there. And like, subscribe, comment, whatever, to this video. I just love all that God is doing in my life, and I'm just happy to be able to show people what a process looks like and to show them that God is not a one-way God. He will meet you right where you at, and he will literally transform the entire dynamic of your life. And I love that for me. I do have a merch drop coming up. I didn't get to tell y'all the last one because I didn't shoot a podcast before I dropped it. But there is a merch drop coming up. I don't have the official date. Possibly by the weekend. But it's already Tuesday. I'm not really sure. So probably next week. But if you tune into my TikTok, you will have all the deets. And I always leave the Etsy information in the description box. That's where I sell at. So if you are interested in getting you some BU Black Girl merch, I also dropped some new stuff. God Girl and the God Girls Always Win. I dropped that too. And I got some more stuff coming out too. And a few things for the fellas. I got some stuff for the fellas coming out. So stay tuned. I am doing a BU Black Girl casting call very soon. I need some models and I need some people who can represent my brand and, you know, be a part of the photo shoot as we, you know, start doing some more networking and we start branching out some more and stuff like that. So be on the lookout for that, because that's in the progress. That's in the process of being a thing. So I'm so happy that I was able to get up here and chat with y'all today. And I'm so thankful that God has given me the revelation that he has given me today. And I hope, even if it didn't apply to your marriage, I pray that it has applied to you in some way, form, or fashion, and that you are able to navigate through these seasons, knowing if you seek the Lord and you ask him, he will give it to you. Because it says in the Bible, you have not because you ask not. And some of y'all don't have because you haven't asked. And so this is your girl, Samantha, and this is my podcast, Naturalized. Until then. Until next time, be you, Black Girl. It's love.